Our help and our expectation is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, which keepeth truth forever, and never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you in peace, from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen.
Congregation, we will continue our worship service with the singing of Psalter 65, the stanzas 1, 2, and 4. Grace and truth shall mark the way where the Lord his own will lead, if his word they still obey and his testimonies heed. Psalter 65, the stanzas 1, 2, and 4. Scripture reading for this morning you can find in the Gospel according to John, chapter 20, starting at verse 19 through 31. We mentioned to you John, chapter 20, starting at verse 19 till the end of the chapter. But before we will read the holy law of God, God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. We mentioned to you John chapter 20, starting at verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst, and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them, and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. Thus far.
Curry. congregation, let us ask the Lord for his presence and his blessing. Let us pray together. Almighty, eternal, only true and ever-living Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, creator of all things, upholder of all things, in this morning, as we may yet, on this first day of the week, gather with the congregation, with our children, and as individuals into thy house, and also remember those who could not and may be listening along. Lord, may it be a wonder to each one of us, because it's a token of thy long-suffering patience, of thy mercy to unworthy sinners. Oh, may we say, as we read in thy word, of one of thy servants who said, "Great is thy faithfulness, thy mercies are new every morning," because thou hast not dealt with us according to all our iniquities and transgressions, but thou hast given yet life. It's thy mercy, it's thy patience to such unworthy rebels and wretches as we are. We have left thee, we have forsaken thee, we have rebelled against thee in paradise, never to return, but also, Lord, with our own personal sins. Oh, what a wonder that thou art yet willing to speak to us. Oh, give a little impression of how great thou art, of thy mercy, of thy long-suffering patience. And Lord, give a little understanding of who we are, of what we deserve, that we may be brought to that right place, bowing in the dust before thee, confessing our sin, begging for mercy, no rights, and yet looking up unto thee, from whence cometh all our help, all our needs for our bodies, all our needs for this life, but especially those needs for our never dying soul. Lord, unto whom else can we go? Thou alone hast the words of eternal life. Lord, we beg thee then, as we have gathered together in thy house in this morning, oh, may we plead upon thy own promise. Thou hast said, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I will be in the midst." Lord, come then, rend the heavens and come among us and work mightily by word and by spirit, that sinners, dead sinners, may be made alive by the power of thy Holy Spirit, that sinners would be born again, that they may be translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of thy dear Son. Lord, it's thy work. Who can do this? None. None desire it, and none has the power, but thou art that almighty God of heaven and earth. Thou art that King of kings and Lord of lords. Thou art that one who can pass by sinners and say, "Live," and they will live. Thou can say, "Follow me," and thy word comes with power, and they will follow thee. Lord, have mercy. Do not pass us by because of all our sins and iniquities. Oh, remember those who are yet on that broad way, knowing the truth, confessing the truth, and yet so comfortable, lost. Oh, we beg thee, awaken them. Remember those who may be on the broad way and yet have the false hope, a false ground. Oh, awaken them. Also thinking they have life, and yet it's all death. Oh, we beg thee, remember the almost Christian, that he would become an altogether Christian by thy grace, by thy spirit. But Lord, remember also those whom thou hast renewed. Oh, those poor struggling ones. Oh, they long to believe. They long to believe and to rest on the truth of who thou art through thy Son for wretched, lost, guilty, unworthy, polluted sinners. But oh, that unbelief that clings to them. O Lord, we beg thee that thou would instruct them by thy word and spirit in this morning. Break those bonds of unbelief. Give faith. Give faith that it may be an exercise. Oh, have mercy, Lord. Take them by heart and hand and bring them to that only place. Oh, may they be given that confession as Thomas had. Oh, by thy spirit, that thou would come and visit them and testify with their spirit that they belong unto thee and that they may be brought bowing and confessing unto thee. Lord, do it for thy name's sake. Lord, that sinners would be born again is for thy honor, for thy glory, but also that poor, wretched, struggling sheep of thy shepherd, oh, that thou would guide them and lead them, that they may come to that place to truly confess. Would it not be to thy honor, Lord? Oh, look down upon us then in mercy. Give the unction of the Holy Spirit to listen, enlighten minds to the truth. Open eyes to see who we are. Oh, hold the mirror of thy law before sinners, that they may see that they are all sin. But also by thy law, show who thou art, that holy one, that just one, who will by no means clear the guilty, but also that thou art that merciful one through thy dear Son, through his merits, through him who gave everything, who paid that price, who satisfied the justice of God. Oh, wilt thou lead them by thy word and spirit? Have mercy, Lord. We beg and pray thee, remember the whole congregation. Thou knowest each heart, each person, all the questions, all the riddles, all the struggles, the sorrows, the joys, not only in the soul, but also all the consequences of sin. Oh, remember us, Lord. Guide and lead and instruct in this day. Thy word is profitable for all things. Thou knowest those who need to be admonished and correct them. Thou knowest those who need to be instructed in the truth. Thou knowest those who also need comfort. O Lord, thou art that God of all comfort. Teach us and give that assurance of that only comfort in life and in death, that I do not belong to myself, but I belong to that faithful Savior. Lord, we beg thee, come among us. We beg and pray thee that thou would remember then all those who are mourning, widows, widowers, those lost children, a father, a mother. Remember the orphans also, Lord. Remember those who have lost a friend, a classmate. Oh, sanctify all these callings. Remember all the sick and afflicted, those who are going for scans and tests, with cares and concerns for their body. Oh, wilt thou send help, give wisdom to the doctors, give patience, give grace, that we may take up our cross and follow thee. Lord, by nature we only rebel, but we need thy grace upon grace upon grace. Remember the sick, then we think also especially, may we lay before thee again Mr. Jeff Feldesgraf. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, bless the means for his body. Thou art a wonder-doing God, and if it is thy will, wilt thou give healing. But above all, remember his soul. Bless thy word richly by the power of the Holy Spirit. Oh, may it be testified by thy grace and by thy Holy Spirit, that he may be by thy grace be able to say, it was good for him to be afflicted, that it was profitable for his soul. Remember his whole family. Remember all those who are sick, other relatives and other congregations, those who are recovering. Remember Mrs. Charmaine Van Maren also. Care for her. And we thank thee, Lord, also that Luke may return home from the hospital. Care for him and his family. Lord, remember all those with hidden crosses known unto thee. Care for each one. We beg and pray thee, Lord, sanctify then all these callings. Thou art speaking. Prepare to meet thy God. Lord, we know it. The wages of sin is death, and that we all deserve death, that the moment we are born, our life is an irreversible dying process. But, oh Lord, we know this truth, but how do we live? Oh, we beg thee that it would bring us with those urgent needs in our soul, lost, and I need a Savior, I need a mediator to be able to meet that holy, just God against whom I have sinned. Oh, we beg thee, bless thy word by the power of the Holy Spirit, that there may be those fruits of true repentance, of godly sorrow. Oh, that I have sinned against such a good-doing God, and that I'm unworthy. Oh, that there may be broken hearts, but also, Lord, give that faith, that true saving faith, that looks to thee, that waits to thee, that longs for thee, and that thou would give, that thou would, by thy grace and spirit, give, that they may be led to that only Savior, to believe in him. Oh, that he may become so necessary, so suitable, and so precious. Bless thy word then, Lord, come among us. We beg and pray thee, help all thy servants throughout thy world. Lord, bless thy word among Jew and Gentile. Thou hast promised that they will come from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. And there's one shepherd, there will be one flock. Oh, may we beg thee, may we and our children be included in that blessed people whose God is the Lord, and that he is my good shepherd, and that I belong unto him, that he has made me one of his sheep. Lord, wilt thou help then, also especially as thy word may be brought unto the nations, also unto Bolivia, bless it richly in that country, that many Bolivians may be born again, come to know themselves as that name that thou says in thy word, sinner, but also come to know that precious name, the Lord Jesus Christ, who came into this world to save sinners. Oh, may that also be among us, in this congregation, in our denomination. Lord, work mightily by thy word and by thy spirit. We beg and pray thee, Lord. Remember also that bill that is before the government, oh, that calls thy precious word hate speech. And Lord, it is the truth. It's thy precious word. It's what thou hast given unto us to make us wise unto salvation. O Lord, thou art that almighty God who can turn the hearts of kings like rivers of water. O, may that bill be cast out. May it be put to silence. And that in this nation thy word may yet be proclaimed in all its truth, to the glory of thy name, to the conviction of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment, and the testimony of thy dear Son. And so, Lord, we lay thee needs before thee. We deserve nothing. We're sinful. We're polluted from head to toe, within and without. But may we beg thee, Lord, as thou hast struck in thy word, open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. Oh, give then that we may have come before thee in true humility, but also looking unto thee, and may it be with expectation that thou would come and thou would fill. Lord, bless thy word. Give much prayer. Take away all the obstacles and the hindrances. Bind up that evil one. Cast him out, and give the unction of the Holy Spirit to preach and to listen. Lord, we beg these things, nothing from our side, but oh, may we beg thee upon him in whom thou art well pleased, upon him who gave everything, who gave his life, who gave his body to be broken, who gave his blood to make that payment, and who has ascended, and who is that interceding and thanking high priest. Oh, may all our prayers come before thee through him, and that thou would hear and answer Because of him, Lord, we ask for Jesus' sake. Amen. Congregation, I also need to announce before I forget that on Tuesday evening is a deacon's meeting. Let's sing now from Psalter 210, all five stanzas. 210, all five stanzas. To God will I direct my prayer, and he will make my needs his care. I trust him still, though in my grief, no answer yet has brought relief. With hands stretched out through all the night, uncomforted, I sought for light. 210, all five stanzas. And the collections for this morning is the first for the church and the second for the benevolent fund. May the Lord bless you and your gifts.
Thank you.
Dear congregation, children, who is the good shepherd? Well, you say, the good shepherd is the Lord Jesus Christ. And a shepherd has sheep. And the good shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, also has sheep. What did he do for the sheep? Remember Good Friday? He laid down his life for the sheep. And then on Easter, we remembered that he rose. And he came and he even spoke to his disciples, his sheep, and said, "Peace be unto you." And when he rose, did he directly go to heaven? I'm sure he had a longing to go home to see, to be with his Father. And I'm sure his Father longed for his Son to come home, but he didn't. Why? Why did he still stay on this earth for 40 more days? His work was complete, wasn't it? Didn't he say it's finished? Why did he yet stay on this earth for 40 more days? Because he cares for his sheep. He wants to visit them. He wants to comfort poor, needy sheep. But it's also a proof that he has different appearances to prove that he was alive. And now what happened when the Lord Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, was crucified? The sheep scattered. We read in Zechariah 13, verse 7, "Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered." Is this not true also with the disciples? And then when you think of animals, sheep, when they scatter, they can run, they can get stuck, they can also fall into a pit. They can fall into a pit, and they need the shepherd to come and to rescue them, because they can never ever get themselves out of the pit that they brought themselves in of themselves. Well, the disciples are like scattered sheep, and one of them has fallen into a pit. No, not a literal pit, children. What type of a pit? A pit of unbelief. This sheep needs to be rescued. This sheep is in this pit because of his own fault. It's his guilt. But he cannot get himself out of that pit of unbelief. He needs to be rescued. He needs to be restored by the good shepherd. Who is this sheep, children? Of whom did we read in this history? Thomas. But is that a picture of you this morning? Last Sunday night, we heard such a precious message. Peace be unto you. And you lived a week. How has it been in your soul? How is it in the soul of Thomas? We read in the Psalm 69, verse 2, "I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I am come into deep waters where the floods overflow me." Oh, unbelief. What a pit. What a sinking. What a deep pit. What a pit of absolutely unable to deliver yourself. Who can help? Who can help Thomas in this pit? Who can help sinners in such pits? Who can restore? Oh, that precious, good, living shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we will see that. We heard it already from the history that we read from John 20. And so this morning, I'd like to ask your attention to the Word of God, which we read in John 20, verse 26, 25 through 29. 25 through 29. "The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. So far from God's precious word. The theme this morning is the good shepherd restores a doubting sheep. The good shepherd restores a doubting sheep. Our first thought, the good shepherd seeks his doubting sheep. We will see this in verse 25 and 26. Then our second thought, the sheep's confession of his good shepherd. We see this in verse 28. And then the last thought, the shepherd's instruction. So the theme, the good shepherd restores a doubting sheep. The good shepherd seeks his doubting sheep. And we see this also in especially verse 27. And then the sheep's confession of his good shepherd. We see this especially in verse 28. And then the shepherd's instruction, verse 29. And so with the Lord's help, our first thought. The good shepherd seeks his doubting sheep. Congregation, the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified, dead, and buried, and he rose again from the dead. And we know that he came and comforted that weeping sheep, Mary. And he said, Mary. And he said something so precious. John 20, verse 17, Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. What a precious message. And that evening, he appeared to the disciples behind shut doors, and he proclaimed, Peace be unto you. They were terrified, and they were afraid, as we read in Luke 24, verse 37. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed they had seen a spirit. And then the Lord Jesus Christ showed them his hands and his side. The love scars of the good shepherd he showed to his doubting, fearful sheep. And then we also read that he ate some fish and some honeycomb. And what was the outcome of them hearing and also by him showing him, them, of his love scars and that he ate? Well, then we read in John 20, verse 20, Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. They had some joy. They had some peace. But one of the disciples was not with them. He didn't experience this joy and peace. When the Lord Jesus Christ came, he was not present. Who was it? Who was this sheep? Who was this disciple? Children, you know, his name was Thomas. Who is Thomas? And we often hear doubting Thomas. But let's consider this morning, who is Thomas? What do we hear of the word of God of Thomas? Thomas was called also to be a disciple. He was called by the Lord, and he had left everything to follow him. And we know from the Gospels that Thomas was united to the Lord Jesus Christ with an intimate bond of love. For example, when the Lord Jesus Christ spoke about that he was going to suffer and go and die, then we read that Thomas said in John 11, verse 16, Let us also go that we may die with him. And Thomas, he was the one who asked, What is the way back to the Father? In John 14, when the Lord Jesus Christ spoke, he's going to die, he's going to leave, he's going to go to the Father, he's going to go to prepare a place, and that he's going to come and return. And he said, ye know the way. And then Thomas is the one who says, how can we know the way? You can interpret that also a question. What is the way? What is the way? And then the Lord Jesus made that beautiful statement, I am the way, the truth, and the life. But now the Lord Jesus Christ has suffered. He has died. He has died on the cross. And Thomas has lost all hope of seeing his blessed Good Shepherd, the Savior of sinners, of him as a Savior, as a sinner also. He has lost hope of seeing him again. He could not believe that the Lord Jesus Christ was risen. He has heard the testimony, numerous testimonies, evidences that he has risen again. But Thomas cannot believe it. He can maybe repeat it with his mouth, but he can't feel it, believe it in his heart. And he has become so discouraged. He's so doubting. He's so full of unbelief. That's Thomas. He's in that pit of unbelief. So the question is, why wasn't Thomas with those other disciples? Why? We don't have an answer in the Word of God. And the Lord Jesus also never rebuked him for not being with him. But it could be different reasons. We can only suppose different things. But maybe it was Thomas who had become so discouraged, so downhearted, so full of unbelief. He just wanted to be absolutely alone. He didn't want to be with anyone. He just wanted to shed his tears, his sorrows alone. Was he right? No. But he wanted to just be alone. He couldn't be in other company. He was so down, so discouraged, and he didn't also want to bring other ones who had enjoyed the peace. He didn't want to bring them down with his own unbelief. Maybe. But they told him, Thomas, we have seen him. We have seen the Lord. He's risen. And what was Thomas's answer? What do we read in verse 25? The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my side hand into his side, I will not believe. He couldn't believe. But it's more, congregation. He refused. He refused to believe the evidences that he heard with his ear of the truth of what the Lord had said. Mary sent a message from God. It wasn't Mary's word. The gravest, most serious thing of Thomas, of his unbelief, that he put conditions. He put conditions before the Lord. I will not believe except. No, he wasn't just saying this to the disciples. No, he was speaking out of his heart also to the Lord. Except conditions. I will not believe except this. Except I see the same signs. Except I experience the exact same thing as the other disciples. Is that you? You hear of other people. You hear of God's people, how they experience certain things. And you say, I will never believe it unless my story is exactly my experience by God's grace is exactly the same. Maybe you read books, beautiful stories of how God works in the heart, true stories. And you say, if it's not like that in my life, I will never, ever believe it. May we do that. We need to lay our heart by the marks of grace in the Word of God. And in essential, it's all the same. But how it can be different? We can never make demands and conditions before the Lord, except I experience, for example, as Paul, such a dramatic conversion. I will never believe it. Misery, deliverance, and gratitude. Thomas, how do you think he felt this week? How do you think he lived that week? He was so sad. He was so discouraged. Why? Because he missed the application of the peace and the joy that the Lord Jesus had proclaimed. No more. He missed the Lord. In his unbelief, he missed that precious Savior that had risen, that was alive and living. Why? Well, first, because he was not present when the Lord came. When the Lord visited and when the Lord spoke, he was not present. Thomas missed a great blessing by not faithfully being with, uniting on the Lord's Day with God's people. He missed seeing. He missed a visit. He missed hearing the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. He missed great comfort for his soul. What's the lesson here, congregation? Maybe sometimes you feel so discouraged, so troubled maybe with so many things in your life, or you feel so sinful, so filled with unbelief, you don't even want to go to church. You don't even want to go to church. Or maybe you feel so discouraged, so down, you don't even want to preach. That can happen also. And yet to be obedient, to be obedient. Thomas missed a great blessing. And the worst thing that he did was to not assemble on the Lord's Day to be with the church of God congregation. And I may thank you that I believe that you faithfully come together. And yet, there are some among us. And I say that with love. We don't see you so often. We don't see you so often. I don't know if you're here this morning or if you're lifting along. We don't see you. It grieves us. Why? It's not for us. It's for your soul. For your soul. Imagine that you have a meeting. Someone has made a meeting with you. And that person wants to speak to you, instruct you, comfort you. Maybe it's your mother. And you just don't show up. You just don't go. You just ignore. Wouldn't it grieve her? Well, with much reverence, the Lord wants, especially on this day, to meet, to speak by law and gospel. And by not attending, we are just saying, I don't even want to hear it. I just absolutely don't care. Faithfully attend. Open your Bible to the exhortation we will read in Hebrews 10, verse 25. Hebrews 10, verse 25. Here we read an exhortation, and that's for all of us. Hebrews 10, verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Why? Often in prayer, I plead on that promise because of what the Lord Jesus Christ said. That's such a precious promise. We need Him to gather with us, especially the work of the Spirit, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst. He promises to be, especially on the gathering of God's people in His house on the Lord's Day. So Thomas, he didn't assemble with. That's a reason. But also, what else? His unbelief. Thomas is so discouraged, so troubled, so distressed, so filled with unbelief. He could not believe what the Lord had said to him early of instruction that he will rise again. He couldn't believe the testimony of Mary Magdalene. He couldn't believe the testimony of the other disciples. And so, the deep in his heart is that absolute unbelief. But I have a question. Was it only because in Thomas's heart that he couldn't believe that the Lord Jesus Christ was risen? Or was it more? Was there more all connected to this one truth that the Lord, whether he was dead or alive, Thomas, by doubting that the Lord had risen, all the theology of salvation was all in question in his heart. Is he really the Messiah? Is he really God's son? Is this the way of salvation? Is that really true? How do we know? By his confession. Did his confession when the Lord came? I confess now thou art living? No. What did he confess? My Lord and my God. So with his confession, we have a little deeper picture into his heart. It was all confusion for this man. All confusion. All tied together with who the Lord Jesus Christ is. Faith is a battle. Faith is a battle. A battle upon the truths of God's word and what we feel in our hearts. Oh, that wretched heart of unbelief. And oh, how Satan loves to stir up and to attack, but to learn by God's grace and by the Spirit to rest, to trust, to rely upon what? Feelings? Circumstances? No, but upon the record of God's testimony of what he says and of his word. That's the way of peace, to rest unconditionally upon him and who he is for an absolute wretched sinner. Isaiah 26 verse 3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. But congregation, we see Thomas, an unbelieving, struggling, doubting sheep. But what an immense difference between him and the unbelieving goats. No, we do not justify Thomas's unbelief. We cannot. Unbelief is always sin. And yet the sheep of the good shepherd, at times, they can sit beside Thomas. They understand. No, we don't condone Thomas. No, we don't condone unbelief. But in the experience, they can understand. They don't sit above Thomas. They can sit beside Thomas. All they're wretched because they sin against the law, but also wretched because they sin against the gospel and in unbelief of what God says. God's children feel deep sorrow because of their sin against a good-doing God, but also because of that unbelief, because unbelief dishonors God. It hinders their mind. It closes their heart for the only true divine comfort in a triune God's questions. The Lord says this, and we say, is this really true? Is it really so? Is it really so? Then why isn't this way in my heart? How can it be if this is so true? Why do I feel this in my heart? And so we question according to our feelings and our reasoning, but to just rest, to trust. Oh, what a place we need to be brought. Oh, what grace we need. And with this work of the Holy Spirit, unbelief in a sheep and a child of God grieves the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit withdraws his influences, especially of peace, of comfort, of joy in that only Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, but also what Paul writes in Ephesians 4, verse 30. Open your Bible, please. Ephesians 4, verse 30. There Paul writes about grieving the Holy Spirit and the results of unbelief also, not only with sin, other sin, but also unbelief. Ephesians 4, verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. The Holy Spirit witnesses with their hearts. And when they sin, he withdraws. Not only sin against the commandments, but also when God's children have unbelief, he withdraws and they miss the seal of redemption. What a difference, though, between a doubting sheep and an unbelieving goat, but also something maybe a little closer. Listen, a difference between a doubting sheep and an easy believer. What's the difference? What's the difference between an almost Christian and an altogether Christian? What's the difference between Thomas as a sheep, but in a pit of unbelief and doubting, and an easy believer? Sheep have the work of the Holy Spirit, the conviction of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. And they have come to know themselves. They have come to know themselves as a wretch, corrupt, wicked sinner. And all they desire to believe, they do, they long, because they hear that he that seeks the Lord must believe that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek them. But all to believe, all that heart of unbelief, it's a battle. They cannot just believe. They cannot just flip a switch. Faith is and always will be the gift of God, the precious gift, and they need it. Unbelief is always our own guilt. Man has become so weak, so polluted, so corrupt, so powerless, that even though they may be reborn again, born again children of God, sheep of the good shepherd, they cannot just believe. The Holy Spirit plants faith, works faith by the hearing of the word, but also gives that faith that it may be active and that they may believe. They become utterly dependent upon God, upon His Spirit, upon the Word every day, because without Him they will absolutely perish. And often they come to say, I believe, help thou my unbelief. But easy believers, they miss this deep conviction of sin. A few theories, I'm a sinner, Jesus is Savior, and they can just accept Him. No struggle, no problem, no unbelief, no struggle with self, no struggles with belief, longing to believe, can't believe. But when the Spirit comes, and through the Word, and by the Spirit, they don't understand that. That then, by the testimony, by God's grace, they can believe. They miss this struggle. Wretchedness in self, but also struggle of unbelief. You want an example of an easy believer? On the great day when the Lord comes, then we read of those, Lord, Lord, they expect to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Not true believers, easy believer, or whatever you want to call them, Lord, Lord, confessing His name. Well, what did the Lord Jesus Christ say to them? Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. But maybe now you feel a little comfortable. I'm not an easy believer. That's not me. Those easy believers, they're going to find out someday. They're going to go lost. But I'm not an easy believer. But are you the opposite? Are you just an absolute unbeliever? Hearing the word of God? Never repenting? Never true believing? Hardening your heart, hearing what sin is, and continue in sin. Both congregation, the easy believer and the unbeliever, are lost. And both are lost. Why? Because they miss the grace of God, because they miss that work of the Holy Spirit, but also because they live, whether they think they have the Lord Jesus Christ or they don't even need Him. 1 John 5, verse 12, He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. But let's go back to Thomas. Thomas, what a sad condition. A doubting, discouraged sheep of the good shepherd. What a sad condition. In a pit of unbelief, in sinking, thoughts swirling through his mind, questionings arising in his heart. Is this the way of the truth? Is this the way of life? The Savior, the promised Messiah, had to die? Is salvation through death? Is salvation through blood? Is victory through death? Is this really the way? He didn't understand it at all. The Messiah needed to die? Is he even alive? If he really was the Messiah, would God even allow this to happen to his own dear son? And there could be a multitude of many more thoughts and questions and doubts in his heart. Is that you? Looking within, is this the work of grace? Is this the way it goes? Is this the way it goes? A way of death? Just becoming death itself? More polluted, more wretched? Is this the way it is? Is this the work of God? And oh, how Satan helps and loves to speak and to destroy, and of themselves, they will only perish. I sink in deep mire where no standing is. I am come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. Who can deliver such ones? Who can? Who can lift up and place them on that rock? Who can restore them? Who can help such wretched sinners? The good shepherd. And oh, what a comfort to hear of the good shepherd when he said to Peter, Peter, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. Let's read John 20, verse 26. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Thomas is with them again. No, he couldn't leave his dear brothers forever. No, he's drawn to them again. Why? Because of their testimony. We have seen him. He has said, peace be unto you. And what he heard drew him back to be with them. As Naomi, in that foreign country in Moab, she heard there was bread again. The Lord was blessing Israel. That drew her back to be with the people of God. Thomas, oh, he was wrong. And God's people may, it can be, as wrong as it may be, they withdraw for some time. Wrong. And yet, they cannot stay away. They want to be with the people of God. Why? Because they want to be where the Lord blesses his people. And so Thomas, again, seeks communion to be with his brothers, with the disciples. But there's something so much more precious. What is that? What's more precious? What? Children, who came to visit them? Who came to visit them when they were together? The Good Shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we see the disciples together again. The doors are shut, meaning securely locked, still living in fear. And suddenly the Lord Jesus Christ comes. He comes into their midst. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Suddenly he enters, and Thomas is there. And he again says in his mercy and his compassion the same words, peace be unto you. No, this doubting sheep didn't withhold him from speaking peace, but he comes. As that faithful, as that good shepherd, he comes to his people, to this doubting sheep in that pit who said, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails and put my fingers into the print of the nails and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. The Lord knows. The Lord knows all that Thomas has said. The Lord knows all the struggles in that heart of that sheep. And he knows all your struggles. He knows all your riddles. He knows all your conditions also that you put even before him. I will not believe except this takes place. But does that cause him to just leave them on their own? Did he just leave Thomas? Thomas, it's your fault. Thomas, you can stay in that pit. It's your fault. It's your guilt. No, he's the good shepherd. He's a compassionate shepherd. He comes right into the pit where they are to help them, to lift them up. He cannot leave such struggling, wretched unbelievers in the pits. And he speaks directly to Thomas. Verse 27, then saith he to Thomas. He speaks directly. Thomas, listen, Thomas. Every demand that Thomas made is met with the command of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thomas insisted, I will not believe except. He insisted, I will not believe. Except I shall see in his hands the print of his nails. And what did the Lord Jesus do? He came to that sheep in the pit. And he said, and behold, my hands. Can you see it? Can you see that sheep? So filled with doubt, so sorrowful, unable to believe, needing so much help. And that shepherd comes and says, Thomas, look. See. Look. Look at my scars. Look what I've done for you. And Thomas said, I will not believe. He demanded that he wants to put his finger into the print of those nails. And what did the Lord Jesus say? No, Thomas, that's too much. No, the Lord Jesus said, reach hither your finger. Thomas, look. Thomas, touch. touch Thomas, you may see it, Thomas. Thomas also said, and unless I may thrust my hand into his side. And what did the Lord Jesus? And that says, it speaks that he would put his hand into his side. He wants to touch him. He wants to hold him. Exactly where that blood flowed and that water flowed. And what did the Lord say? Thomas, reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side. See, Thomas, touch me, Thomas. Hold me, Thomas. Why? Thomas said, I will not believe. But now the Lord Jesus Christ, that good shepherd, in his free and sovereign grace, gives a command to this doubting sheep, and be not faithless, but believing. Oh, that good shepherd is so grieved that his sheep, after so many evidences, still doubt who he is and his love. That grieves him. Wives, would it grieve you if your husband doubts your love? It grieves us. Children, would it grieve you if you, your mother, would it grieve your mother if you doubted her love? You do so much for her. A little example. But oh, be not faithless, Thomas, but believing. The Lord Jesus Christ exhorts this doubting sheep to believe. How? Thomas, look to me. Thomas, see my wounds. See who I am. Look to me. Look what I've done for you. What a lesson. What a lesson to unbelief. Where is the only help? In him and who he is and what he's done. And through the word, he's saying, look to me. Look to me. Look to what I've done. To see who I am. My merits. My work. Listen to my wounds. Listen to my blood. Listen to everything I have done. That's the only way that can comfort those wretched sheep. What mercy, what compassion, what faithfulness, what faithfulness, what care. Don't you want to belong to this good shepherd? What a caring shepherd, what a caring good shepherd for sinful, struggling, doubting, unbelieving sheep. And we read a prophecy, and here we see it fulfilled, a prophecy. Open your Bible, Ezekiel 34, verse 12. Of the good shepherd is fulfilled, especially in this history. Ezekiel 34, verse 12. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. The good shepherd, he seeks, he finds, he speaks. What love, what mercy, what compassion. By unbelief, the sheep lose the sense of his nearness, of peace, of joy. But their unbelief and sin cannot withhold that good, precious, faithful shepherd, the Prince of Peace, to come to them. And so we must say, as Paul wrote, but where sin abounded, grace did more abound. That's the hope, because of who he is. Not because of what we are, but because of who he is. How will this sheep now, that was so discouraged, so struggling, so unbelieving, how will he respond? And so we come to our second thought, the sheep's confession of the good shepherd. Let's read verse 28. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Remember when the women came? The news that the Lord Jesus Christ had risen? They considered it just idle tales. Thomas, is this still idle tales? Is it? No, Thomas heard the words from the mouth of the good shepherd. He saw the wounds. And he could have very well also touched him. Why? Why we may believe that? Because we read in 1 John 1, the testimony, what we have seen and what we have handled. And so many commentators believe that the disciples and also Thomas handled him. It means touched him. It could be. But one thing, Thomas now, what happened to his heart? What happened?
faith. Faith burst into a flame. There was only smoke. Smoke. It burst into flame. Faith takes away all his objections, all his conditions, all his demands, and it takes away all his unbelief. It was not because Thomas's demands were now accomplished that he now decided to believe. Did you hear that? It was not because Thomas's demands were now accomplished that he just decided to believe. That's not it. That's not it. No. The overwhelming goodness, the love, the compassion of the precious Savior poured into his soul and it broke it. It's because of who Jesus is. It's because of who he is. Because of what he said. Thomas, please, look. Don't be so faithless. Don't grieve me so much. Don't be so unbelieving of who I am. Thomas, please, just touch me. Look. And that dear, compassionate word of that precious Savior just poured into his soul. And it broke everything. It broke it all away. And he could do nothing but just believe. And out of his heart came such a deep-hearted, worked confession. My Lord and my God. It came out of his heart. My friend, do you know struggles of who you are? Do you know struggles of unbelief? Struggles of believing, being able to believe in who the Lord is. To believe in who the precious Savior is. Oh, it's a struggle, a wrestling. A wrestling because of who I am and a doubting of who he is for such a wretch. Could it be for such a vile one? Could it be for such an unbelieving one that grieves him again and again and again with my sin, with my unbelief? But when he comes, oh, when he comes and he visits and he shows himself through the Word, and by the application of the Holy Spirit, then that's all gone. It's all gone for a moment, maybe longer. Peace flows in like a river. And love pours out, my Lord and my God, said Thomas. He could do nothing else but bow in adoration and confess to the precious Savior, the Good Shepherd. Some teach that Christianity is only to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ while withholding commitment to him with your whole heart and life. That's absolutely not true, because it's with the heart. Yes, it's a wonder that he is the Savior and they become to trust in him as the Savior, but at the same time, their whole heart and feelings go out to him as Thomas did. My Lord and my God. We see this in his confession. He surrenders to him. He believes in him with his whole heart. The Lord Jesus Christ is his Lord and Savior. Is that your life? Is that your need? You need him as your Savior. But do you also surrender to him and give also your heart to him as Lord? Do you cry, teach me, lead me, guide me, hold me, help me? That you cannot live without him, that you need him as that Lord to guide you, to lead you, to teach you, to help you every step of the way, or you will go lost. But also, do you need him as that Savior? Lord, save me. I perish. Lord, wash me, cleanse me, make me clean within. The sheep, they may be so doubting, but they also need him. They need him as Lord and Savior, because without both, they're lost. They need him as both. Is that your heart? What a beautiful confession of Thomas. It just pours out. Oh, that must have been music in that room. Oh, how Thomas's heart was so filled, was so discouraged, so down. But he's brought out of the pit. And he's put on a rock, and he could just sing, I'm sure of it, with his heart that day. What we will hope to do, what we will sing from Psalter 111, stanzas 1 and 2. 111, 1 and 2. I waited for the Lord Most High, and he inclined to hear my cry. He took me from destruction's pit and from the miry clay. Upon a rock he set my feet,
and steadfast made my way. Psalter 111, stanzas 1 and 2. The sheep's confession of his good shepherd, my Lord and my God. The Holy Spirit applied it. He saw it by the revelation, by the Lord Jesus Christ standing, and by those words, he saw it. My Lord, my God. He saw it, the Lord Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us. He's not only man, he's God. He's that Savior. He's that one in whom there's the forgiveness of sins. All his doubts are vanished. All his questions that have been stirring through his heart and through his mind all the week, it's all gone. Because he believes in that precious Savior of sinners, my Lord and my God. This is the first confession of such a type that we read in the Bible of the disciples. You say, what about Peter? Well, what did Peter confess? Thou art the Son of the living God. But Thomas, so filled without unbelief and discouragement, we would say he was so far behind all the other disciples. But now we could say, humanly speaking, he passes them all. My Lord and my God. What a confession. But do you hear it? My Lord. My God. He's not only Lord. He's not only God. He's my. Oh, that little word. That little pronoun. Oh, to be able to say it with the testimony of the Holy Spirit, with comfort in your heart. He's mine. He's my Lord. He's my God. He's my everything. And all those wretched sinners can so struggle. They know it's him. It's him. He's the one, but is he mine? Oh, what struggles that can be in the heart. Oh, their heart goes out unto him, but is he mine? He's like that poet,
That poor what did we read? 'Tis a point I long to know. Oft it causes anxious thought. Do I love the Lord or no? Am I his or am I not? But oh, when he comes through the word, by the power of the Holy Spirit, and he applies, all that they may be given to confess, to have that comfort, that only comfort in life and death is not that he's only the Savior. What do we read? That I belong to him. Oh, to know that all that brings such comfort in the heart. And Thomas, he confessed with his mouth, but his soul rejoiced and it magnified God. He rejoiced in the Lord and the God, but more, his soul rejoiced in so depth in my Lord, in my God. And that's the comfort, to belong to him, to know he's mine. May we never rest until we may know on good grounds by the work of the Holy Spirit, that only comfort. He receives such peace, such joy. But then a few words of instruction. Thomas physically saw the Lord Jesus Christ, and then he believed. And the good shepherd, he knows. He knows his people are wretched. He knows their dust. And he cares for them. And he helps them. And he brings them out of the pit. No, he does it for them. But he does not. And he never can approve of all their sin, of all their unbelief. And yet he restores in love and in mercy. And he instructs. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me with his physical eye, thou hast believed. Thomas, you're blessed. But blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. What's the instruction? Thomas had evidences, but he wanted to see with his eye. And I want to speak to you that have so many conditions, so many struggles. I want to feel it before I believe. I want to know. I want to absolutely know. I'll never confess. I need to know. I want to taste or I will not believe. I want to touch. I want to handle. I want to see. So many conditions. But what did the Lord say to Thomas? Thomas, be not faithless but believing. Do you have so many evidences in your life? You hear your heart described from the word of God and you absolutely refuse to believe, it will remain darkness. Darkness. And yet that good shepherd knows. And my prayer is that he comes. That he comes and visit. What are they to believe? What are we to believe? What did the Lord Jesus Christ say? But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. We are to believe the record of God, of who he is, and of who he is in his Son for absolutely wretched sinners. No conditions. No longing to feel, to taste, to touch. No longing to see with your physical eye. You want to feel first. Is that the order? What's the order? Paul wrote about the order so beautiful in Ephesians 1 verse 13. Listen. And maybe you want to open your Bible and follow along. Ephesians 1 verse 13. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth and the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. We want it sealed first. We want conditions first before we will truly believe. But it's the other way around. We hear. Faith is worked by hearing, and by hearing, by the application of the Holy Spirit, there's believing, and after believing, there is sealing. Never try to change it around. It's God's given order, and the work of the hearts of his people. Hearing, application by the power of the Holy Spirit, believing, and sealing. So what instruction? But also more, blessed. You hear that? Who are blessed? Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Who are those blessed ones? Who are those real blessed ones? who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, who have never seen him physically, and we have never seen him physically on this earth, and we will not until he returns. But we are given an eye of faith to see him through the Word, to see him through the Word, revealed through the Word, not by the eye, physical eye. Blessed are they. Listen to what Peter writes. 1 Peter 1 verse 8, whom having not seen, physical eye, ye love. You see the mark of faith, real faith? Whom having not seen, ye love. In whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. There's Thomas. There's Thomas on that day when the Lord came. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, Thomas, you saw me physically. But blessed are they who do not see me physically, but see me with the eye of faith and believe. And how do you know if it's true? They love. And how do you know it's true? How do you know? What do we read in this text? They have joy. Thomas had deep, profound, soul-filling, overflowing joy in himself, no, in the Savior. That's a mark of true saving faith. And how do we know if one of these sheep, we know of wretchedness of sin, we know struggles of unbelief, sin of unbelief, but we also know joy. Joy. If you can say you believe in that precious Savior and you say you've never, ever had any joy in who he is, you can put a question mark behind it. Because true saving faith also, it comes with joy in who he is for an absolute wretched sinner. No, not that you listen to some music and your heart is stirred up, pumped up, emotional, but by the work of the Holy Spirit, by seeing him through the Word, not with the eye, but by the eye of faith. And that he comforts in who he is, believing in him, embracing him, going out to him, it fills the heart with joy. Is this you? He's going to return. He's going to take you home. Thomas had a little piece of heaven that day. He had joy in who the Savior is for such wretched sinners. But there's coming a time while there will be uninterrupted joy. They will hear, enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. And it will forever be deep, profound joy. The real joy, the deep joy in God. Living with him, forever being with him, never separated because of sin. No faith is gone. It's just all love and joy. And they will cast their crowns at his feet. All honor, all glory, and they will be singing to the Lamb, to him, and ever confessing, my Lord and my God, redeemed by thee and by thy blood. My friend, go home with this question. Will you be there? Amen.
Almighty, eternal Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, oh, we beg thee for the application of the Holy Spirit. Oh, we need thy help to proclaim and to listen. But, oh, wilt thou bring thy word that is so powerful, more powerful than any sharp and two-edged sword, to bring it right into the heart. Oh, we beg thee that the preaching of thy word may be to the regeneration of sinners, but also for comfort, for instruction, for poor, struggling, doubting, poor and needy little lambs and sheep. O Lord, thou art that same good shepherd. Thou art living. Thou art that faithful one. O, wilt thou care then and guide and lead and instruct in that way of everlasting life that is only in thee. And O, wilt thou teach, they will learn of all that godly sorrow of who I am. But they will also have a little something of the joy because of who thou art. For such sinners, through the love of thy dear Son who gave everything. Lord, help the elders instructing in catechism. Bring us again here tonight. We thank thee, Lord, for this day, for thy help,
and for thy precious word. Forgive us of all our sin in preaching and in listening. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Let us close now with singing from Psalter 202, all three stanzas. In doubt and temptation, I rest, Lord, in thee. My hand is in thy hand. Thou carest for me. 202, all three stanzas.
congregation, receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father with the comforting communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.